again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. As always, we'd like to bring guests in that share their information about their organizations and what they do. And today, our guest is Becky Morris, Executive Director of CASA of McHenry County. Becky, welcome to Around Town.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're quite welcome, Becky. So, what's going on? What's the mission of CASA?
Well, our mission is to support and protect children who have experienced abuse or neglect in their lives by providing a trained and committed volunteer to advocate for their best interest. So we have volunteers from all over the county who come in and are willing to go through extensive training and background checks so that they can make a relationship with a child in the foster care system and make sure that they have a voice in the courtroom.
So for those volunteers, when you go through all this training, how many hours of training or how many days is that normally, Becky?
It's about 40 hours total. It's over 7 weeks. Once a week, they come in for training, and then you got some homework and a big binder to do. And we just do a lot of interviewing with them in between, make sure that everybody's on the same page, that it's a good fit.
Are the hours flexible when they come in? Can they come in like daytime or evenings or afternoons?
Not for the training. So the trainings is like a 7-week commitment once a week. But once you become an advocate and you are assigned to a case and are working with a child, you are in charge of your hours and when you see that child or when you're doing the phone calls that need to be done. So
what time is that training then? When they come in once a week, that would be in the mornings?
It's usually in the evenings so that it's flexible for people who work or might have kids and stuff like that. So we do it in the evenings, usually from about 5:30 till 8:30. Again, 7 weeks. Right now we're doing it on Wednesday nights, but we change that up. So.
And what's going on with the growth of CASA and in your area, in McHenry County?
Well, we've had a pretty exciting year. In 2021, we served 183 children in the foster care system. And then last year, we went up to 273. So that was a 50% growth in 1 year.
And what's causing that explosion?
So the good news is it's not because there's just so many more kids being taken into care because of their home situation. The reason that we saw that much growth was because there was a legislation change in January of 2021 that required the judge to assign a CASA to every single case. And so before, we weren't being put on every case. And now that we are, we had that huge influx of kids. So we've needed a lot more volunteers, and we've had to expand our staff and things like that over the next year.
Is there an average one volunteer would address the needs of one, two, three children? How's that work?
Yeah, so they are assigned to one case. So unlike a caseworker at DCFS who is overwhelmed and overloaded, a CASA advocate is really just focused on one case at a time. And that's where we can make a difference. And on that one case, you might have one child or you might have a group of four siblings. On average, it's about... Well, it comes out to 1.8 children. So, you know, on average, you have 1 to 2 children on a case.
So 273 children in the year 2022, mm-hmm. that had to be quite a task with a limited amount of volunteers.
It was. However, the community really came together. We did have a large amount of volunteers add to that group. So I think we saw 50 new volunteers in 2021 come on board. And so we carry around 146, 148 volunteers pretty much all the time.
Well, that's pretty awesome. Is there an age qualification for a volunteer, or is it open to any age?
You just have to be 21 years of age. We have volunteers. I think our youngest is about 24 and our oldest is 80. So we have volunteers across the board. A lot of retirees love to do this. A lot of retired school teachers or people who have worked with children in the past love to come on board and do this because they have a little more time and they feel like they can really put the time and effort into the relationship with the child.
And I'm sure that in addition to what you're getting from the county or whatever, you also need donations, correct?
Oh, yes. We don't get money from the county.
You don't?
We do not. We do have some federal grants and some state grants that help us, but we don't get any county funds at the moment. So, yes, we heavily rely on individuals in the area and businesses.
So as a court-appointed special advocacy group, mm-hmm. you would think that you get something from the county that would be in their budget.
It's not. At least not right now.
And how about when it comes out to the holidays and things like that? How do you work that with all the kids and making sure everyone gets a little something.
Well, December is really fun in our office. It is full of Christmas gifts everywhere. So what we do is we hand out wish lists to our advocates, and they get those to the kiddos. And on there is there's room for them to put 3 wants and 3 needs. And we kind of want the kids to fill it out. And then those lists come back to us. And we partner with someone at the Giving Door named Jill. And we partner with churches and we partner with individuals. Anybody can come and grab a list. And then, but we really do strive to get all 6 items on that list for every child. So this past December, we had gifts for over 200 kids. So you came, you couldn't even walk in our office probably because there were bags everywhere and gifts, but it was so much fun. And the advocates would come to pick them up, you know, not knowing how huge this was going to be and that they were going to fill the back of their, you know, truck. Somebody came and had to pick up bikes and, you know, weren't prepared, but it's really fun. And we hear back from the advocates who say, I showed up with this and the kids just couldn't believe that someone would do this for them. And also just a huge relief for the foster parents, you know, to not have to put the money into that. They're strapped as well. And it's just a really, really fun time in December.
So the gifts, are they given directly to CASA or the other organization that's giving?
The Giving Door.
Do they collect the gifts? Is that how it works?
Yeah, they collect the gifts, and then, or we do. You know, it depends on how, if you go through the Giving Door or not. But they end up at our office for the advocates to pick up. It's really important that the kids understand that those gifts are not from the advocate themselves. We don't want that kind of dependent relationship where they think the advocate is there to give them things. So they're either told it's from CASA and, you know, people who love you at CASA. And sometimes, honestly, if there's a natural parent who can't buy any gifts for their child and they're working towards reunification, sometimes those gifts come from the parent. Whatever is in the best interest of the child is what we want done with that.
So where would folks drop off the gifts? Is there more than one location? And if there is more than one location, can you give them an idea where they're located, street address or something like that?
Yeah, it's just our office. Right now we're on 630 North Illinois Route 31 in Crystal Lake. We're in the same building as Big Brothers, Big Sisters, if you happen to drive by and see that sign. So yeah, they can drop it off there. But we have, and again, you'd have to get the list. So, you know, it's just contacting us and letting us know that you'd be interested in that. We start trying to put together kind of lists of people that would be interested as early as June so that we can get the lists out by, you know, September, October, November, make sure we get them in time.
So now it's time for you to make your pitch for volunteers. How many more do you need, Becky?
Oh, my goodness. We need a lot of volunteers. We do need probably another 50 this year. So we are looking for people who'd be interested. A couple of things to keep in mind. This is about making relationships with these children. So making sure that they have a safe, consistent person. We're talking about kids who move from foster home to foster home, they switch schools, their lawyers change, their caseworkers change, everything around them changes all the time. And we ask the CASAs to commit to the entirety of the case. And we can't tell you how long that'll be. It could be 6 months or it could be 4 years. We don't know. But the incredible thing about these volunteers is that they provide the consistency for this child and they build trust and they show up at every home. They show up at every school to advocate for them. So that's a big part of it. The CASAs say that they oftentimes get more out of it than the kids because of the relationships that they have. But then you also get to be the voice in the courtroom. You're writing reports for the judge to read. I just talked with our new judge, Judge Nader, and she said, you know, I saw a report from a caseworker and I saw a report from a CASA, and they had differing information. And so it showed me that something was going on and I needed to get to the bottom of it. So we really can provide the judge with information there's no other way to get, as well as being able to advocate for these kiddos in school, going to meetings. Maybe they need an IEP plan or they, you know, they need tutoring or something, and we can work with the foster parents on that as well. So you can make a huge difference in a broken system that we all know is broken and overwhelmed just by stepping in to do that one case.
Can you take us from the very beginning, once you have a volunteer and they finish all their training and they begin working with a child, what steps, how do those steps come together? What do they do? Can you kind of walk us through that?
Yeah. So first of all, after you finish training, we do ask you if you have any preferences. Do you want to work with a certain age group? Do you want to not have to drive a certain amount? You know, and then we take We take great care to match, to make sure that we make a good match for the advocate and the child. And then we get you all the information on the case you to read through. Our advocate managers who are on staff will talk through the case with you so you understand all of it. And then it's really about meeting with the child twice a month. We want to make sure that we have eyes on the child and that we're making that relationship. You're meeting with the foster parents, talking with them. Like I said, you can contact teachers, school social workers, anybody who's going to know what this child needs. And you're taking all of that information and putting it together. You are in contact with your advocate manager, so you are never alone in this. We're always there to support you. And then that gets put into a report. And these kids' cases are usually up in court about every 3 months. So every 3 months, you have a report written up. It needs to be objective. It needs to be clear and concise. And we get those over to the judge so that it helps her make decisions. And ACASA is more than welcome to come and be in the courtroom to hear what's going on with that case. If they can't be there for some reason, that's no problem. Our advocate managers are always there to take notes. And then we call the CASA and say, hey, this is what happened in the hearing. This is the next step that's being taken. And this is maybe a next step for you to take.
So as a volunteer, if, for example, you stumble a little bit and you're writing a report, but you're not sure, you have everything correct, then how do you folks step in?
That's no problem. So the report gets turned into the advocate manager. And so she's going to look through it and make sure that we're writing things appropriately and we're not putting our opinions in as much as we want to. But we do have a summary at the bottom where we can really highlight what the kid needs, you know, kind of put that in there and say, you might want to look at these things. But you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to be the best writer in the world. We have someone to edit it for you before it goes off to the judge.
Now, do you have some volunteers, and I would imagine maybe someone maybe is a little bit older, that they may want to dictate the report as opposed to writing the report?
You know, that's a good question. I've never had anyone ask me that, but we haven't had that yet. It's like a template form that you fill out, but we haven't had anyone ask us that. It's a good question.
Well, I thought there might be someone that maybe has terrible, like myself, I have terrible handwriting. So I thought, well, maybe in a case like that, maybe they dictate something and it's on tape, and the tape can be converted to
a document. We could certainly consider that, but it is typed in, so.
We're going to pause for a minute to remind everybody that you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station, WHRULP, and we are talking to Becky Morris, Executive Director of CASA of McHenry County. So, Becky, so now I gave you that idea. You know, we get a fringe benefit at the station here for that. You realize
absolutely,
that?
Absolutely. Okay.
So once you get past all that, you move on from there, then what happens next? Like you talk about different things that are coming up in February. What's happening in your organization in February?
Well, if you're interested in becoming a volunteer, but you're just not quite sure yet and you want more information, the best thing you can do is go to one of our virtual online informational sessions. We do that once a month. Our next one is coming up February 21st at 7 p.m. It's just 1 hour long. You log on through Zoom and we give a little presentation. You can ask questions. It's a great way to get more information about what it really means to be a volunteer. So that would be my first recommendation. If you'd rather do an in-person session because you're not really big on the Zoom stuff, we do have that at the McHenry Public Library coming up on February 17th, and you can register for that on our website as well.
Well, I know some people are just not, you know, computer savvy, so it might be better doing it in person.
Yeah. And there's a Zoom fatigue, right? We all get that.
Right, right. But if they did want to Zoom, did you want to go through the steps, what they do and how they do it, carefully and slowly so they understand?
Sure. The easiest thing is just to go to our website, which is www.casamchenrycounty.org. You're going to spell all of those out, so it's C-A-S-A, McHenryCounty.org. And if you go there, you can find at the top, you'll find something that says Next Steps. If you click on that, you'll see where we list all of our informational sessions, and there's a little link that says register here. You click on that, let us know who you are, and then you'll get an email sent to you with the link so that you can just click that link and you'll hop on our Zoom.
And that's February 21st?
Correct, February 21st at 7 o'clock p.m.
Okay, now you have something coming up February 17th as well, correct?
Yes, that's the one that's in person at McHenry Public Library. So if you'd rather see us in person, we'd be really glad to see you, and you can bring a friend along there.
Okay. So that's for registration and for information about how to be a volunteer.
Yes.
Okay. And how long is that session open for? 7 p.m. to what
time?
Just
about an hour. Yep. I would plan on an hour, whether it's virtual or in person.
What normally do you get for a turnout?
It depends on our informational, on the virtual ones. Usually we have 5 to 10 people show up each month. In person is really random. We don't, it's very hard for us to predict.
Okay. And you want to tell me what you're calling your Big City Bash?
Oh, this is the best thing we have going on. So
this
is our annual gala. All right. If you are not sure if you can be a volunteer, but you want to help us out, you can come to a fantastic party and you will make a huge difference. So our Big City Bash Gala is on March 10th. It's a Friday night. Every year we have a different theme city. And last year we had Nashville. We had a fantastic time with a live country band, and everybody was dressed, you know, in all their different country gear. It was absolutely fantastic. We turned it into Nashville Row and City, you know, it was unbelievable. But this year we are actually going to Havana. So we are going to have a tropical theme. I cannot spoil anything, but you would not believe what we're going to do to this room.
You know, this is awesome because our station director, Jim, loves Cuban cigars.
Really?
So this would tie in really quite nicely with him for Havana night.
Well, I don't want to give anything away, but you might just enjoy that when you get there, too. We're going to have themed music, themed. There's dancing at the end of the night. We have the most fun auctioneer you'll ever hear. He is an absolute blast. We've added a fun little game that, again, I cannot spoil for you, but you might walk away with something new. And we've got some silent auction items, the live auction, music. We put on a party. It's funny, somebody last year said, I hate going to these things, but I will come back next year. This was so much fun. And somebody else said it was so funny to go and have such a good time and have so much fun when we're talking about such a heavy subject, right? Because there is a presentation. We do want you to know what you're giving to. But we want people to understand that while we deal with really heavy and dark issues that these kids are going through, we still have so much hope because that's why CASA exists, is to make an impact on these kids. It is a life-changing impact that we make simply by showing up. And so some people do that by volunteering, and we're so thankful for them. And some people do that by donating, and some people do that by showing up at a Big City Bash, having the time of your life, and being able to help us fund what we need to do.
So I'm intrigued by that one comment you made, that you have something that you're not going to tell us about that's a secret.
Yeah.
Could we have a hint at least? I mean, now you're driving both of us, Jim and I, crazy.
Okay,
over
so let's just say that there's a little game you might be able to participate in, sort of like a raffle, right? So you could win something at the end, but you also might walk away with something new to wear that night as well.
Okay.
To go with the theme.
Okay. Now, for your auction items, what normally do you look for to collect to have for your auction items?
Anything and everything. We look for things people love to auction or to bid on experiences. So new things to do in the area that are kind of unique and maybe people don't know about. Escape rooms are fun and, you know, things like that. But it's also a great way for businesses to get their name out there if people aren't really as aware of them. People come to this. It's in Fox River Grove, but people come from all over the county. We have everybody from every town. So we really would love to see businesses represented from every town so that somebody in Woodstock might not know about the business in Huntley or something like that, but they'd be more than happy to drive over here for an experience. And
so the location, we should tell people where this is going to take place, is Big Havana Night.
Yes,
Becky?
Yes. It is in Fox River Grove at Avante Banquets. We'll have a full plated dinner and, like I said, games and fun and raffles and auction items, and then there's dancing at the end if you want to stick around.
And what time does it begin? Do you have like cocktails at the beginning, things like that? Or
yeah, I believe doors are going to open at 6 p.m., and then we kind of do a cocktail hour when you can walk around and get your drinks and see everything. And there's some other fun stuff that goes on during that time. And then the program will start about 7 o'clock with dinner.
Now, you know, Havana, that type of theme, you know, you have to have the proper dancers that go along with that, correct?
Yes. If you know some dancers
who, I do. It's our station manager. Yes, Jim. Yeah.
Well, we will contact Jim for sure. We want him there on the dance floor. He can start us off.
You notice he's blushing, right? People can't see it because we're on the air. But for the auction items, do you look for other items, too, like could be gifts, for example, like tickets or maybe something that's a collectible old antique item? Are those?
Yes, absolutely. Especially if it goes with, you know, if Jim has a contact to any of those cigar stores, we would love one of those as well. But yeah, something, tickets for people to go to Broadway shows or even local theaters around here that might want to you know, bring people in, things like that. People love it. They love to be able, you know, they want to know that they're giving to something that matters. So they walk away knowing, okay, I contributed to CASA and that made a difference, but also maybe I get to go try something new.
And do you have, like, collectibles there that would, might be antique collectibles? People have donated those to you, too?
I haven't had those. Really? I think they would do really well. If you got a contact, you can hook me up.
Okay. you know, the way you said that, I'm not sure my wife would appreciate that, but I know what you're saying, though.
I would love to. I think that would be really cool.
I will check around for you. That sounds great. So when this is all completed, and then you move on from there, what happens after that? And this is in March, but what happens after March? What happens like the summer months? What's coming up next?
We just keep doing the work, honestly. We keep doing the work. We do have 3 training sessions for volunteers per year. We just started one last night that has 14 volunteers possible. We hope that they all make it to the end and graduate and get sworn in. But we definitely need more volunteers to sign up for our April session. And then we will have another one in the fall, in I think September. We also have in September, one of our favorite events is our Light of Hope Breakfast. It's free. It's before work at 7 a.m. in September. You go, you come for a little breakfast, and we give a presentation, and it's one of the best ways for people to be introduced to CASA. There's no bells and whistles. It's not like Havana Nights. It's just literally coming and listening to our stories and understanding the impact you can have, and it's a great recruitment place.
So you gave the time. Where would that be held, Becky?
The Light of Hope Breakfast in September? I am not sure yet. So we are nailing down the venue. Last time it was at Boulder Ridge, so we'll probably end up there again, but I'm not sure yet. So.
Okay. And that's published on your website for people to find out?
Yes. Everything is always there so they can find out about our events. We do events very well, I can tell you that. That was happening before I even got here 2 years ago.
You know, I meant to ask you, on your event last year, the Nashville event, what was the turnout?
Oh, we had about 258, I think, showed up for that. We're hoping for about 300 this year, now that everybody knows how much fun it was. And we raised $138,000
at
awesome. That event. So.
And what's the ticket price for a Havana night?
It is $95 a ticket. You can get tables. We need sponsors as well. And if a business wants to sponsor, you do end up, you know, depends at the level that you sponsor, but you get free tickets to come with that, or you can even get a whole table of 10.
So that's $95, that's for cocktails and dinner?
Mm-hmm.
And what would be
And entertainment, don't worry, you'll be fully entertained.
Okay, well, if Jim's going to be there, I might go. The dinner itself, the people have options, there's a set meal, or how's that
it's
work?
It's set, unless you're a vegetarian or gluten-free, you can let us know that, and then the venue works with us on that.
Okay.
And it might have a little bit of a Cuban theme to the meal as well. We're not going too crazy, but there might be a little theme there.
Well, you know, the thing that's become very popular, even in our area, are the Cuban sandwiches.
Oh.
Those have become very popular.
Really?
Absolutely. You know, that's a takeoff on the communities down in Tampa, where they have a lot of Cuban sandwiches and different delicacies that those folks put together. So that's just something that may add to it as far as a snack, you know, that type of little tidbits.
You never know. Yeah.
Once you complete all these tasks, like even the one in September, then you prepare for your old Christmas program all over again, correct?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you start all over again.
Yeah, we just keep doing the work, right? Some of these kids are with us for a really long time. Like I said, they might have a case that lasts 4 years. And so they might be with us for a really long time, but cases are always closing. We hope that it's for reunification with the parents. That's always our goal. If not, then we want to make sure that they're adopted. We do have older kids who, you know, might be 17, 18 years old who really aren't going to be adopted. They can't go home. And so they end up really going towards independence. And when I think about that, I have a 17-year-old at home. He is not ready to go out on his own and to not have that safety net behind him. And so we're doing everything we can to get those kids ready. We actually are starting a partnership with Big Brothers Big Sisters and their new Big Futures program for those kids that are in that age group. And so we just talked with them and said, how can we partner together and utilize the resources that you have for these kids? So always looking for ways that we can impact, especially that older group, because we serve anyone from birth to 21 years old.
Yeah, and that's kind of tough too, the 17, 18 year olds, you know, where they go, what they do, that's kind of a tough situation.
It's hard. They can be in care, you know, under DCFS until they're 21, but, you know, I can't imagine having to have launched myself without my parents' support. And again, looking at my 17-year-old, knowing what he's going to face here as he goes to college. So we really want the CASA to be there to support them and then come behind them as an organization as well. So we're looking at new ways to help.
Have you had any input from like your junior colleges for these 18-year-olds, like McHenry County Junior College, to try and help them go to school without leaving the state?
I actually just had a phone call with the vice president over at MCC, and we're going to be looking into different ways that we might be able to funnel the kids that direction who do want to go to college for some reason, or even like a trade.
Well, the whole program you got is really, it takes a lot of energy, that's for sure.
It does.
Sure your staff works very, very hard, Becky, and we want to thank you for coming here today and sharing your stories with us. Folks, you've been listening to your Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM. Go to huntleycommunityradio.com. Click on Contact Us for more information. We want to thank Becky Morris, Executive Director from CASA McHenry County, for being with us today. And for everybody else out there, have a great day.